All right, here we go, Tom. Oopsie. Sorry. Wow. Can I start over again? I'm sorry. John, can I start over again? Sorry about that, Sherry. That
was it's okay. I get it. It's going to happen.
It's like reflex. It's going to happen. Oh, new music.
Got that.
Here we go. It's the show with a crappy name. What's the name again?
The John Curley and Sherry Show.
Just one name on you.
Yeah, you know.
You like that?
I'm sure. I'm fine with that. Yeah.
What is your last name?
Elliker.
Huh?
Elliker.
Never mind. Abby in the day! It's a made-up name.
Mine isn't a made-up name.
You need one, because Elliker's not good for radio.
Well, it's worked for a couple of years now. I have a married name, too. That's my maiden name.
Ah, there we go. Yeah. Right. Hornschnickel? All right, Hornschnickel. Let's get started. You can write to us at mynorthwest.com. You can also text coming in the 1-888-973-5476. All are welcome. A Michigan school shooting prosecutor suggests she will charge the parents as well. This kid, at first, my take on this, and we have sound on this and everything, I thought the kid was specifically going after people because it looked like you look at him and you're like, okay, that kid got bullied. And the person that got shot, one of them in particular, was a football player.
Right.
But we find out later on that's a football player that charged after the shooter. Shooter goes into the bathroom, got a backpack. They've got video of this. Comes out of the bathroom and now has this gun, 9mm that he'd gotten from his home. His dad had just purchased the gun,
Black Friday.
Yeah, yep. So he's got the gun. He even put it up on his Instagram page, look what I've got or something.
Here's a beauty or something like that.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And then he goes into the school. I think he'd put up just 24 hours earlier, right?
Yeah. And keep in mind, the parents had been at the school at 10 o'clock in the morning for a conference because a couple of teachers had noticed that he had some weird behavior.
Yeah.
And they called them in and said, you know, we're concerned about him because he's acting strangely. And then he went into the bathroom, came out with a gun, and then methodically, you know, shot. He killed four people and injured seven more.
The 15-year-old accused of killing four and injuring others at Oxford High School is now charged as an adult.
I will enter a plea of not guilty on his behalf.
Both the suspect and his parents appearing in court virtually. He faces 24 charges, including terrorism causing death and 4 counts of first-degree murder.
In terms of the premeditation required for a first-degree murder charge, this just wasn't even a close call, unfortunately. This was deliberate. This was planned well in advance and disturbingly so.
Investigators say they discovered troubling videos on the suspect's cell phone from the night before the deadly incident. While they did not give specifics,
he talked about shooting and killing students the next day at Oxford High School.
The Oakland County Sheriff says the suspect had meetings with school officials the day before and the day of the shooting for concerning behavior and another undisclosed issue.
In fact, the parents were brought in the morning of the shooting and had a face-to-face meeting with the school. We did not learn of that meeting, nor of the content of that meeting, until after the shooting.
Videos posted on social media showing the chaos and terror happening as some students and teachers barricaded and evacuated their classrooms.
I heard screams come from the hallway, and the first gunshot happened, and my teacher, he walked into the classroom, he locked the door, he told us to call 911, and then we heard the rest of the gunshots go off, more screams.
While Oxford High is blocked off with yellow police tape as authorities continue their investigation, outside the school, a memorial is growing, a small way to remember and honor the four teenagers who died in the tragedy.
Did you see the video? This is the Michigan school shooter that apparently they were concerned. So this is the crazy thing about kids. I guess this is what... While this is going on, the shooting is going on, some kid is rolling video on it. They got it on their phone. So they're all in the classroom, and there's a knock at the door. Wait, hold on. They're quiet. They're in the room.
Sheriff's office! Yeah, we're here. Okay, well, come to the door. Look at my bag, bro.
He said bro. Red flag.
So they don't believe it's the sheriff. And then they all go running out the side door. And even though they're scared to death, they're still videotaping the entire thing as they run out. It's just weird. And there they all go. They're all heading out the side, going out the door. Because they're afraid. They think the person coming through the door is not the sheriff.
Sure. They think it could be the shooter. But that's the world we live in terms of everything's on video, right? I mean, that's what they do. They document everything as kids. So this all got documented. I also read where, you know, a lot of them were arming themselves. They found scissors and things like that, that they were going to try to defend themselves.
Right. That's the nonsense. They've been pushing that for a while now. You know, get ready to throw a book at the person as they come in the door, right, and stay there and defend themselves. Because people said, well, one of the story was, arm the teacher and don't know which teacher is armed. Teach them how to do this. There are some states that allow them to do this. And then other, no, that's not fair. We don't want guns. Teach the kids that they can throw pencils and books at the person coming in with the gun, right? This happens every once in a while. You always wonder what the red flags are. Apparently, they were on top of it, at least enough that they brought the parents in to see the kid had started to behave strangely.
Yeah, and what do you think, John, about this concept of the parents being charged? This is very rare. There have been very few cases where the parents have been charged with anything in all of these cases. And keep in mind how many school shootings there have been. And the overwhelming majority of them are with guns that kids get from their homes. And what they're saying here is that if we can start to make parents feel accountable for gun safety, that maybe it might make them think twice about at least locking up the gun. That's about all they can really charge them with. There was one case where a guy was charged with manslaughter because he kept a gun in a shoebox, and his six-year-old grabbed the gun, took it to school, I guess, and killed another kindergartner or first grader. And so he was charged with manslaughter and did about 29 months or something like that. But that doesn't happen very often. So as somebody who is a gun owner, do you think that there is reason for parents to be held culpable for this when they don't have the guns locked up? I mean, I don't think they should be responsible for the
carnage.
Michigan
does not have that law.
Right.
You don't have to lock it up in Michigan.
Yes.
You do have to lock it up here in the state of Washington. Obviously, when my kids were little and we had a handgun, the gun was in this special safe. You put your thumb on the button and then the thing opens up.
Mm-hmm.
But, of course, because Lace and I are technically disinclined to understand any of that stuff, once we stuck it in there, we never bothered to figure out how to get it open. And we never read the instructions, which, by the way, were inside the safe. So in the safe was the gun, the instructions on how to get the safe open, and that's about it. Mm-hmm. And now if you ever wanted to protect yourself with that gun, you have to pick up the heavy safe and throw it at the person.
Yeah.
And hope hope the bullet comes out somewhere from some part, a side of the safe. I understand there is a responsibility as an adult to make sure that a deadly weapon like that can be kept from the kids. And they're going to charge the parents, even though it's not a law. Apparently, they're going to find them somehow involved with this, right? Yeah. It makes sense. And you just want to be a responsible gun owner. Most of my friends that own guns, they're extremely responsible. They've got gigantic gun safes and things like that. And they are really careful about how they move them, where they are. And you just know you don't leave them with your kid. You don't put them anywhere near your kid, right? And I always tell my son when he goes and stays in my cabin, I said, Rye, treat all guns as if they're loaded.
Mm-hmm.
Locked and loaded. Every single gun. So if your friend comes over and they're staying at the cabin, decides to pick up one of the guns, you let them know, even though the safety's on all of them, that is a loaded gun. Even if it's not, assume it's a loaded gun. So in this case, I mean, the parents, you know, it's so odd. Imagine how the human being responds to photos. I see the kid, and I'm like, he's got glasses on. So I'm like, he's probably got bullied, got beaten up and stuff. Not that that's justifiable to shoot anybody, but that constant bullying of something, especially now over the internet, again, not justifying it, but you can understand why somebody gets to a breaking point. Bullying, like domestic violence, has the same thing where it wears on you. Every single day you're going to go into school, and every single day you know you're going to be picked on by people, right? Either on the bus or at home. And now that they can pick on you over the internet, you eventually just build up so much anger that and of course your brain, like we talked about one time, it's not connected.
Mm-hmm.
It's not until you're about 25, 26 years old. And you're not thinking you're going to shoot these people.
Right. And remember how small their world is. So bullying, you know, when that's happening, That's all they've got. They don't have the life experience, and they don't have other things going on where they can go to a job and do all these other things. That's their whole world. Mm. And so when a kid is bullied like that and it's relentless, they do reach a breaking point. But
did you get bullied?
No, never got bullied. And I don't remember any – this is going to sound very Pollyanna-ish, but I don't remember any bullying all through school. I don't remember anybody really being bullied. Yeah, not in high school, not at all. You know, I don't – were you bullied? Really? Or were you the bully?
I was the bully. No, I was bullied up until when I failed fourth grade a second time. Then I was bigger because just physically, just age-wise, I was almost 16 when I was in eighth grade. Mm. I drove to school when I was in eighth grade. You don't fight any other eighth grader for a parking spot when you pull on up in your 70 Ford Pinto. I remember this guy got out of the car. The kid's like, aren't you like an eighth grader? I'm like, yeah, I'm an eighth grader. I can grow a beard. Get back. I'm like, what? How did you get the chance to drive? Fail fourth grade twice. Going in. My dyslexia. Well, I remember being in fourth grade the first time, and they sent me back to first grade for reading. I made a big mistake. I'm sitting in class, and okay, we're going to start reading class or whatever, and I get up and I walk out. And as I'm walking out, this kid goes, hey, where are you going? Why don't you take reading class? I said, and this is a mistake I made. I'm such a good reader, I don't have to take this class.
Okay.
So that kind of worked for about 2-3 days. Mm-hmm. And then this one kid decides he's going to follow me. So he follows me, and I don't know he's following me, and I go down the hall, and now I'm in second grade for reading. So I'm sitting in this second grade class, and my knees are up, pressing against the bottom of the desk. And I suddenly, you know, sense when someone's looking at you. I looked over to the window, and I could see that guy looking at me, and he had this look on his face like, gotcha. Mm. And he ran back to the classroom and told everybody,
that's horrible.
Mike Curley goes back to second grade for reading. And I remember then returning back to class and everybody made fun of me. I mean, it was nonstop. And then you're retarded and then you're this and that. And then it wasn't. So then it was all of a sudden those kids graduated, went on to the next year, and I was still there. And eventually those second graders, they're like, hey, there's the giant that was with us 2 years ago.
There's the driver.
Exactly. And thank you, Sean. You're so sensitive. But when I got bigger, then I do know what it is. I mean, it's a weird, nothing like this kid. Nothing that people that I know, kids that are really, really, really bullied. It's weird that you didn't have any experience.
I don't really.
I assume Sean did.
What, got bullied?
Yeah.
Yes, that's true.
Did you ever feel so mad that you wanted to like hurt somebody in some way?
No, I never. Well, I mean, I never thought about shooting and killing anybody.
No,
but I mean, I just sort of dealt with it.
Took it.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you think that part of this is copycat stuff? Because today in Michigan, they said over 60 schools closed down because of threats. So it seems like these things do happen in you know, patterns like this, where there's one and then there's another, and it probably, based on the era that you were in, it didn't occur to you that that would be something that you would do. And now these kids have had so much. They've been inundated with school shootings their entire school careers. And so maybe that is what they think is the go-to.
Right.
Whereas you didn't. That wasn't something, even though you were
brutalized. There was no Columbine. We didn't have experience that sort of thing. The weird part of whether it's this or suicides, that is one of the biggest things. When a suicide happens in high school, every other high school, all high schools, all of a sudden do this amazing amount of intervention into these kids' lives because they realize once it trips, he did it, and then it says, then I'm going to do it. So the same thing you often see when it comes to mass shooting, whether it's in school or other places, that they're clustered. So you can see somebody go into a mall and shoot 10 people randomly. They say within a couple of days, if not the next day or within the next week, there'll be another one and another one, another one. So they sort of pop up, they happen, and then they die back down again, and then they pick back up again. But I used to get back at kids in other ways, but certainly nothing that horrible, but, you know, just mostly involving things that smelled. I won't go into greater detail than that.
Okay. But no flying urine.
Not then.
Okay.
It wasn't until I got older and more mature that I came up with that idea. Yeah.
Well, they deserved it. Whatever you gave them, they deserved it.
I don't know about that.
They did.
It was pretty terrible. Hoo-ah. Now my mind. It's so funny. You know, you say it and you think about it and you try to, like, not think about it. And then you keep thinking about all the... Tracy Taylor looking at traffic for us. Thank you. Tom, thank you. Is that awkward for you to have Tom come in and just do that? You didn't look at him.
I think Tom actually glued her mic shut.
Yeah, yeah, he was a little bit aggressive, wasn't he?
Yeah,
he came over
when he
here
unhooked your wire.
He calls it pranks.
Yeah,
yeah.
I don't know why he did that, but no, it's hard to let go. I get it for Tom. I understand.
You weren't here for this exciting part of the show yesterday when Sherry admitted to Tom that she'd been waiting 10 years for him to leave.
Do you think this was like, I don't know if you watched the wonderful film Showgirls, but...
By the way, Muckleshoot Casino, proud as punch to bring you exactly what's about to occur. Thank you, Muckleshoot Casino, the biggest and best in Northwest. Yes.
If you recall in that wonderful film that somebody pushed someone else down the stairs so that they could have her part in the show. Did you Showgirls, Tom?
No, and you remember All About Eve. Where,
more of a showgirls gal.
Movies, yeah.
Never saw that
here.
One.
Okay, yeah. I was with Betty
in Tom's
Davis?
Memory.
Wow.
We'll talk about movies.
Guess who's older?
Most people retire and play golf, but in Tom's case, he just wants to read the Cairo TV thing every day at 4:33.
Channel 7.
Channel 7.
You want to talk.
What I said, right?
You want to talk. Hi, everybody. Welcome.
Hi.
Hi, let's talk about menopause.
I know you want to talk about menopause.
I
did this story at your request. You asked me to do this story a long time ago.
Every day I ask you,
and
when
I'm
are we
going
to do a menopause story?
Yeah, exactly.
Christmas comes early.
I know. And it'll get him off my back because he calls me every day. You think we could talk about menopause maybe on Friday?
Can we please?
Yeah, you're welcome, Sherry.
Why are we doing this story?
Calm down. You're about to find out.
I'm sorry. He's having a hot flash.
Yeah, I can tell. 2 years ago, when she turned 46 years old, Kirkland's Jessica Butts wasn't feeling like her usual extroverted, bubbly self.
Multiple times during the month, I wanted to murder people. I was aggressive. I was angry. I also wanted to retreat from people. I had hormonal acne for the first time. I was just so not myself.
It turned out that she was experiencing symptoms of perimenopause, but she had no idea.
Nobody was talking about it. None of my friends were talking about it. I went to see a naturopath, which I'll be honest, she wasn't super helpful.
And this is exactly why New York therapist Donna Klassen started this nonprofit during the pandemic called Let's Talk Menopause. And she recently launched the country's first menopause awareness campaign.
So we started in New York City and we have over 200 subway ads with the slogan, "It's not just in your head." Basically letting people know that they're not alone and that they need to, you know, advocate for themselves right now to get the treatment that they need.
So the reason it's so important to advocate for yourself is because
doctors aren't trained in menopause. Right now, menopause is an elective in most medical schools. So 80%+ of OBGYN residents feel unprepared to discuss menopause.
That just seems insane because half the population is going to go through it. Every woman is going to go through it. How is that even acceptable?
It's not acceptable, and that's why we need to change it. It basically got taken out of the curriculum in the early 90s, and it has not been put back in the curriculum. There's a way for providers to take some extra courses and get certified. Some providers are doing that, but basically, it's criminal. You know, we need to really get the treatment and the health care we deserve.
A 2019 Mayo Clinic study of medical residents found that only 7% surveyed said that they felt competent in menopause care.
It's a huge part of the patriarchy. Most of the doctors are still male. They are still making the decisions on what we're studying. Aging women are not as important. We are a castaway group of people.
And menopause is still a taboo topic, and it just doesn't get discussed very often.
People know about hot flashes, but they don't know about some of the, you know, lesser known symptoms. People don't know that irritability is a symptom of perimenopause. They don't talk about painful sex. They don't talk about low sex drive. And yet there's Viagra that's paid for by insurance. There's a gazillion commercials about men and sexual problems and difficulties and treatments, but nobody talks about women. They don't talk about urinary incontinence or leaking that happens to many women after the age of 50. They don't talk about increased UTIs and connect those symptoms to menopause. Women need to know that there are treatment options, and doctors need to know and talk proactively to their patients and ask them, do you have these symptoms?
So you can go to letstalkmenopause.org to get the resources, but they also purposely made the website look very young because they want younger women to learn about it so that you actually do know what is happening to your body. I mean, this story, like, I had so many emotions about this. It made me really upset just knowing that it's not in the curriculum. That's insane when half of the population is going to go through it. And it made me feel grateful to kind of stumble across this because I'm 41 and I would like to know if I start experiencing these things, that that's what's happening to me. Because she said what happens is, you know, a woman will go to the doctor for one of those symptoms and the doctor won't know to connect that to menopause, and then they'll just send them to some other specialist and you end up going to a different doctor for every situation instead of, you know, them saying, oh, this is menopause, we'll take care of it. And it can have long-term effects because you need the estrogen for your heart, for your bones. And a lot of the things she mentioned, like the frequent UTIs, that can become a serious problem. So I just feel it's my duty to make A, men like you uncomfortable, and B, I just really like to be an advocate for women.
I doesn't, no, I challenge her on the number. 82% of women that go in, 82% of OBGYN, either in or out of class, now are female. They are now the majority. In the 1970, 7%, 7% of OBGYN were female, and it's now more than 59% are female.
What are you challenging?
The idea that it's most of the men are mostly men as OBGYN, that's not holding water anymore. But I will say this, it's also odd to think that somebody is, you get a doctor who's your OBGYN and you start seeing that person, male or female, in your 20s, and then you stay 30s, 40s, 50s.
Maybe.
The doctor doesn't know or can't talk to you about menopause?
It's because they might not be educated in it, so they don't know that these symptoms are all a part of menopause because they didn't learn it in medical school. And what you said, that's not, she didn't say that most OBGYNs are men. She said that the people that are coming up with the curriculum in the medical schools are mostly men.
So, Rachel, do you think part of this is also not just a lack of conversation with doctors, but a lack of research, that there just isn't enough people looking into this type of thing, that there's no new drugs on the market, there's no new treatments, there's no anything like that. There's just a lack of interest in this. So it's not just the education piece of it, but it's solution based. There's not a lot of solutions.
I'm not sure. I know that there are menopause specialists you can go to, and they do have solutions. You know, some people think that you can just do the hormone replacement therapy, but that's not the only option. There are other things that you can do, more natural methods. I don't know all of them because, you know, I didn't get super into that part of the story. So I think that there are things that you can do. It's more an issue of getting people to the information, and then, you know, maybe there's not enough doctors at this point for all the women who would need this care. There was another statistic. It was like less than 50% of women bring it up with their doctor because they just don't know that that's what's happening.
I remember as a kid watching All in the Family. It was like a famous episode of remember that?
Edith, yeah.
Edith was, and Archie's like, I'll give you 5 minutes to go through the change.
Yeah,
she would go into the room, go into the kitchen and come back out again. And she was hot flashing and angry and screaming and yelling at Archie. I remember, like, that was very, very controversial to have that topic handled in a television show.
It probably wouldn't be handled in a television show today.
Totally.
I mean, it just wouldn't be.
No, it wouldn't. I rewatched the first episode of Blossom with Maya Bialik, which came out, I think, in the early 90s. In the very first episode, she gets her period. And I was like, wow, I am shocked by this. But you still don't see it that much. Yeah, there's a lot of taboo subjects people don't like to talk about. Most of my girlfriends said their moms never talked to them about their periods, which blows my mind. And menopause is a huge change. I mean, your hormones are what runs your personality. And a lot of these women say they just feel so different afterwards, actually in a good way, that they feel really confident and empowered. But I just think that it's such a big shift that it definitely should be talked about.
Rachel Bell.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And you're welcome.
You have that. Do you have that copy of your Blossom? Was it on a, you have it on VHS?
VHS, yeah. I keep it at my desk. I have my little mini TV with the VHS player.
Connected?
Yeah, connected. Yeah. Got my microwave popcorn.
There you go. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. Tracy Taylor joins us now. And Tracy, I will be playing a little before 5 o'clock. You...
crying, sobbing, yes, uncontrollably.
Yes. Here we go. Writing to us is good and good for you. Vent that spleen of yours. Didn't I ask you one time, you said you had a friend of yours that lost her spleen?
She lost her spleen and she can't eat seafood.
That's what it was, yes.
Yep.
I couldn't remember the fascinating second part.
Glad we cleared that up.
You said she lost it. It was just she misplaced it, never found it again?
She had to have it removed. Oh. I don't remember why, though. That part I didn't get. I just knew she couldn't have the lobster.
Well, it's important to make sure a cheap date.
Yeah.
Good to vent your spleen. That's what I'm trying to get to. You write to us at mynorthwest.com. You can also come through the door to Texas through the State Roofing text line, 1-888-973-5476, or Cairo. By the way, the big secret password, are we allowed to say it again, or are we only allowed to do it
absolutely.
Once?
Yes, okay. Absolutely. No, say it again.
A little bit of music on it, make it sound like a professional. This is the big password. This is the secret. The Seahawks are taking on the Chicago Bears, coming up on the 26th of December. Remember the code word. Can be entered. You've got until 11:59 tonight.
At MyNorthWest.com/win. Did we say that already?
I'm in the middle of this.
Okay, sorry.
I'm going to start all over.
They keep texting in the word.
What do you mean?
Well, you're not supposed to text it, and you're supposed to go to MyNorthWest.com.
Don't text in the word. Go to MyNorthWest.com and enter the secret code word, which is pass. This is going to be Chicago Bears coming to town to get a chance to see four tickets and also see the curvature of the earth. You can go to MyNorthWest.com and enter in the code word pass, and then at that point, are you entered into another contest, or does somebody have to come to your house and make a poster? Is it complicated? We just call you?
Complicated. Yeah.
All right, fine.
We'll find you.
I got it. Code word is pass. All right. This is going to be another Sherry story.
This was my idea.
This was not my story.
Okay.
I have a story about this, though.
Ah! The fact that nowadays people guys are going with the simple gold band? Is that what it is? Or they're moving away from the gold band? They're going titanium?
Yeah, they're not doing the gold band like your dad had.
My father never wore a ring.
Never wore a ring. Didn't need to because he was devoted. That's what they'll tell you.
No, he will tell you the story that when I went to buy my high school ring, he said, "You really want a high school ring?" And I'm like, "Yeah, because you get the high school ring."
Right.
And he goes, "I don't wear a ring. You know why I don't wear a ring?" I said, "Why?" "All right, you know Jimmy Ferrell?" I said, "Yeah." He goes, "Okay. So Jimmy Ferrell, you know where the schoolyard, the thing down near your aunt's house, the playground there?" I said, "Yeah." "All right, one day we're all playing ball. My dad was in eighth grade. And this one kid's showing off, Jimmy Ferrell. And the ball gets stuck in the backstop there. So Jimmy Ferrell's got a ring. You know, he's showing off all the time. So he climbs to the top of the backstop. He's got the ring, right?" "Yeah, I get it. You know, that's the way he is because he's got a ring." I'm like, "Dad, I get the point. He's got a ring." He gets all the way to the top of the backstop. He takes the ball, throws it down, and guess what he does? He gets halfway down because it's a show-off, you know, kind of way people are that have rings. And he gets halfway down, and he decides he's going to jump. He jumps. Guess what happens? Ring tears his finger off.
Oh.
"All right, now you want a ring?"
Oh, no.
I'm like, "Nope." "Okay. I don't want a ring." "All right, so you want all your fingers?" Like, "Yep." Okay. And that's why they never got a ring.
Okay. Well, a lot of men are opting for a variation on the standard gold ring.
Is it a breakaway?
I don't know. Some are getting like cheaper versions. You know, they're getting these like almost like rubber rings. Uh-huh. Some are getting actually fancier versions where they might use diamonds or sapphires or turquoise rings and things like that. But the traditional gold wedding band is sort of going out of style. And part of it is because they'll say that the ring can get nicked up pretty quick.
Yeah,
you know?
We're stuck in a backstop.
Danger lurking everywhere there's a ring.
So men buying titanium?
Titanium rings.
Does the guy pick it out or the woman picks it out? Does the guy pick it out?
I'll tell you mine real quick.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
We got married in Key West, and so we didn't have wedding rings. It was just two of us getting married.
Uh-huh.
And so there's a bar called Sloppy Joe's, which is a famous bar. Outside of that, there was a kiosk where they were selling all kinds of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So the only ring that would fit Trevor was a ring that said Jesus on it.
Okay.
So we bought these $20 rings, got married on the beach and everything. And then when I bought him his wedding band, I had Jesus engraved on the inside.
Oh, that's nice.
That's love right there.
That is love.
One more thing to make fun of me about.
Did you do it as a joke or is it like a serious thing?
Well, I thought it was sweet because he actually wore the Jesus ring for a while and everything. And then when we came, you know, when I wanted him to upgrade, I made sure that that was still represented.
Let me ask you, did they ever jump from a backstop with the ring?
I don't think that he did.
Okay.
I don't know.
If he did, he'd be okay because he's got the Jesus.
He's got Jesus on his side.
All right. Tracy Taylor looking at traffic for us.